Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. We're so happy you're here today to learn about how to create fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your small business. Today, we're going to dive into productivity, but in a way you haven't imagined yet. So let's start at the beginning. Hi, business rock stars. My name is Maggie Mongan, and I am your host today. I'm a tenured master business coach and growth strategist. So think marketing on that side of things. For about 20 years now, I am the CEO of Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc., which is a coaching practice specializing in guiding small businesses to optimize business performance as well as leadership. I'm all about improving the underserved small business sector, and I honestly believe that small businesses are the accelerant of our economy, so much so that inadvertently, I ended up founding a number one best-selling business book series for small businesses. Now, don't worry, we'll share a little bit more about that later. But most importantly, like all good things, I didn't do it alone. I invited tenured experts to join me in the authoring process. And today we have with us one of our tenured experts, number one international best-selling author, Dayu Patel. Welcome, Dayu.
Hey, thank you for having me, Maggie. Looking forward to this.
Oh, it's going to be such fun. And everyone, it's really important for you to know who Dayu is because he works with people who are striving to own their time, and he helps them build favorable relationships with time so they can shift from stress and the falling behind feeling to experiencing the liveliness of feeling ahead. And we're so thrilled that you're here, Dayu. We're in the middle of your mini series on our podcast. So this is so exciting.
It is exciting because, you know, they always say it's always about the process, not the end goal. And this process has just been wonderful, scary at times, but enlightening, powerful, and just, you know, just wow factor.
It is a wow factor. So let's talk about the wow. You penned a chapter in volume 5. And just so everybody gets really clear, all the books in our series, all 5 of them, have the same title and subtitle. What distinguishes them by volume is when you look at the covers, they all have different colors. And volume 5 is a beautiful turquoise cover, right, Dayu?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really cool. The book series is titled Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner, Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People, Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Small Business. And you wrote in the Productivity Performance Pillar. That's chapter 7, which is titled Time Integrity, Ending Ahead of Time. So I want to just dive into this because I know we have a lot to discuss. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Time integrity, ending ahead of time. What is time integrity?
Well, you know, time integrity is where we think, okay, we just got to honor our commitment to our word. But over the last 20, 25 years, going to a bunch of self-improvement programs, human performance programs, and spending time in that community, I realized that not too many of those people that are high achievers, high performers, can actually commit and close out what they say they're going to do on their calendar. So basically, start and end on time with what you put on your calendar. The hard part is the self activities that you put on that calendar. Can you do that versus a manager's, you know, agenda or a customer's agenda? Of course, you're going to march to their deadlines, but marching to your own deadlines, time integrity is really about being able to start and end when you say you're going to actually start and end something.
Well, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Okay. So time integrity, it's a self game is what you're saying.
It is a self game. It's a game against your calendar.
You know? Okay. Got it. Okay, so today you said you wanted to talk about how we pace with or against or for or by time. So what is pacing when we talk about time?
That's great, because time is very fluid. And so it could change depending on how you feel about it at any given time. But if we just go back to what we know or think about pacing, let's just think about pacing for running a marathon, right? And the formula for figuring out your pace for something like a marathon or an active physical activity is you divide the actual time by your distance. So if you ran 3 miles in 30 minutes, that's 30 minutes divided by 3 miles, that's 10 minutes per mile. Now, how do you relate that to your work pace? How do you relate that to your work day? So after teaching some of this over the years, I had one of my good friends, you know, said, all right, let me test this out. And so he was painting a door in his home, and he gave himself 10 minutes to do it. And there are four quadrants to a door. So you got to break it out mathematically in a way. So he gave himself 2.5 minutes per segment. He had the paint and the brushes and everything laid out. So you don't start the timer until you have collected all the resources and everything that you need to kind of complete the task. And then after he had a plan, then he set the time, he started a timer. And actually, because he was able to pace himself and more aware of that 2.5 minute marker, he was actually able to move in accordance with that. And he actually called me when he was done. I didn't know he was doing it. And he had this energy, this new emotion that I eventually want to get into one of the other podcasts that we're doing. But this new emotion came up after, you know, after the result of that. He's like, man, I just feel like I'm in a James Bond movie. And I just executed like this amazing, massive mission, you know, and I guess that's what happens when we race against time, but in a proactive way, not in a mission critical way.
I love that. So there's an awareness factor that plays into pacing as well as the success of achievement, right?
Yeah. And the awareness kind of relates to like a meditative state, because you're aligned with time, you're in coherence with time.
Ah, there you go. Coherence with time. Okay. So why is pacing so important?
So to know your pace is to know what you're capable of. You know, when we talk about true potential, right? It's like when we start looking at time and racing against time, we kind of know what we're truly capable of. But what ends up happening is that we fail repeatedly, and we lose our ability to kind of respect ourselves as it relates to what can we accomplish in a given time period. And what we don't realize is just by thinking about pace, just thinking about it, just having the definition, the nomenclature around what pacing is in a day versus an Olympic event, you realize that, wait a minute, I do have an opportunity to end things on time if I'm able to pace myself accordingly. And I discovered this when I was in my teens studying for the SATs. I figured out that I had 75 seconds to answer each question. And then for 2.5 months, I decided to time myself on everything until I got to a point where I was able to get dressed, pack my knapsack, brush my teeth, which didn't follow the 2-minute rule, which I didn't know at the time. And then I was able to take my hand, turn it on the doorknob and open the door. I was able to do all of that in 75 seconds. And what ended up happening is through iterations, I was able to improve my pace against that 75 second marker. And that's what could happen for us too. If you take a PowerPoint slide, let's say, and you have certain pieces of the slide that you need to put together and a certain story, whatever, you give yourself a certain time. It doesn't have to be perfect, and don't overanalyze it. Just give yourself a time, set a timer. If you can have a timer that can give you cues on where you are in time, and even better. But then you'll see, like, was that enough time? Was that not enough time? And then you kind of reset things and you kind of say, all right, well, where should I be in 2 minutes? Where should I be in another 2 minutes? And when you start asking yourself those kinds of questions, you start realizing that, wait a minute, this is powerful. This feels very empowering over time. And then you start gamifying it and compressing time, which we talked about in an earlier podcast.
Right.
You're able to compress time your pacing improves. So it's a magical element between compression, time compression, pacing, and ending on time.
Time compression, pacing, and ending on time. Okay. That's a lot. Now, I know in your chapter, you talk about how the military uses time integrity. They call it a couple different things, right? But you've also mentioned things like bomb squads and mission control scenarios. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're in mission critical or time compressed scenarios by your duty or your job, your mind, your brain, everything starts working a little bit differently. Basically, what ends up happening is that there is stress involved. And through stress, it actually compresses your mental thinking patterns so that you don't, when you feel like you have a lot of time to do something, well, then you take that time. And you're not compressing to find a solution. So like in a bomb squad, if you got 10 minutes to disarm a bomb, you know, they're going to constantly look for efficient ways to do that, but they're going to filter out ideas really quickly or solutions really quickly. It gets filtered. It becomes a very subconscious action. And that's what we realize when we're actually study, you know, these mission critical job functions, on how they're able to eliminate certain thoughts without actually thinking about them, but they just intuitively know that that's not the right answer. That's not the right answer. That's not the right approach. That's not the right path. And so when you look at a surgeon, let's say, and this is like for my mom's heart surgery, I think she was given 8 hours for the surgery for it to be successful or for her life to be mitigated, like death. And so okay. What the surgeon was able to explain to me was his steps and process, because I kind of interviewed him. I wanted to know how he's going to do this thing. And the way he looked at time was very differently. And he had to pace himself accordingly, which he didn't use those words. But I could tell by his actions that he needed to be at a certain step by a certain time. Otherwise, the risk of death increases. Same with the Navy SEAL. What happens when we talk about Navy SEALs, we don't talk about their skill set around speed and being able to move fast against time. And the way that really happens is through actually practicing a sequence over time. And then the sequence becomes faster and faster because they're operating more at a subconscious level, because it's going from consciousness to subconsciousness, which is where true speed and where time kind of slows down. So when time slows down, you kind of figure, well, I could pace myself accordingly. But when you feel like you're in a high negative stress situation, time really escapes you. And it's very hard to think about pacing at a time like that. So there are certain situations where I recommend to think about pacing and look at it. And there's certain situations where I say, don't even think about pacing.
Okay. Well, you know, and that explains how arduous tasks get completed. There's phases by said time you need to have X accomplished, right? And that's how you build success and momentum. And I want to share with everyone in the book, my gosh, you go into this in greater detail. And I encourage everybody to read it. You specifically address how Navy SEALs do their magic that they do so well. And it's all due to training and time compression and pacing and having this whole thing dialed in. And you explain it in greater detail. So I encourage everybody to check that out. So right now you're giving us some great examples as to what pacing is, why it's important. But the big question I'm sure a lot of our listeners have is, how is pacing so powerful to them?
Yeah. So if you think about, you know, the tortoise and the hare, right? I mean, you got the rabbit, you know, just going a mile a minute, trying to get to the finish line. You got the turtle at its own natural pace and state. And eventually the turtle makes it to the finish line, right? And what ends up happening is that when we don't think about pacing, we actually squander a lot of energy and a lot of what I call return on heartbeats. Return on heartbeats is, you know, that peaceful tranquility that you can find with time, if you're able to basically that coherence, right? That coherence with time. And so what ends up happening is what we are leaving on the table when we don't pace ourselves is that we're very scattered. We always end up putting ourselves into a procrastination state because we don't realize that, wait a minute, if we just start small, like the turtle, right, we'll actually get to the finish line. So what we end up doing is we want to tend towards the sprint. And we wait till last minute to do a sprint. And then that takes a lot out of us. But what a lot of us don't realize is that between the time you were given an activity or the time you gave yourself an activity to complete, basically we always fall into Parkinson's law, which is a really interesting thing where we expand time it takes to complete something. And we wait till last minute. And when you wait till last minute, you can't pace yourself. But if you had paced yourself, let's say over 5 days, this is something was assigned to you on a Monday and you had to deliver it on a Friday. If you just told yourself, I'm just going to do 20 minutes a day because you've determined that 20 minutes a day would be a good pace or a cadence to get it done by Friday in a peaceful state, that actually gives you more vitality. It actually helps you show up very differently in life because you're iterating and you're taking small little chunks of it to get done. So that's a pace. Right. Even if pacing doesn't have to be in one time allotment in one specific day, it could be spread out equally over several days. So pacing really, if you're able to use it to make it a lifestyle, you're actually able to show up very differently in life. And I feel like that's why it's so powerful is how we show up, how we feel, our health. I mean, there's so many things that get impacted when we don't pace ourselves.
You know, I love what you're sharing here. I was looking for who was the originator of the quote, success breeds success. I couldn't verify that. But in the research of that, and this will tie exactly to what you're saying, in the research of that, I found out that Sunnybrook University did research about success, and it said that you mentally don't know the difference of a little success, incremental, like what we're talking about pacing, or a big success. So the key in the research revealed smaller, more frequent successes improve your success rate overall. And that's really what you're talking about here, isn't it?
That's 100% right on. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you had something due on Friday and you did 20 minutes of it on Monday, you still reap the benefits of basically feeling ahead of your schedule, because I guess the natural tendency would be to wait, right? Because you got a lot of time to do it. So you would tend to wait. But the way you show up by just taking a little slice of it, you feel very successful. You feel accomplished. You show up very differently because if you did that on a Monday and it's really due 5 days or 4 days later, you reap the benefits of creating space and freedom and feeling a new emotion against time by working on it now.
Well, that's really cool. And I can see how that makes sense. I love it because you talk about it, about if we practice pacing, we become coherent with time, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's a really cool feeling. Okay, I got two more questions that I'd like to ask you. Hopefully we can make that happen here. Because I know we're going to talk about the Parkinson's Law in our next episode in the series. So I'll save that. But my question right now is, how do you apply pacing to work, your tasks? How do you apply pacing to your work, to your tasks, to your calendar, all of this? How do we do this? Come on, give us the real scoop, not just theory.
Sure. So again, like going back to that marathon, right? You have distance divided, you had time divided by distance, and same in your work day. Like if you just take a meeting, right, and you have a 30-minute meeting, it's like, how do you pace yourself in that meeting? Now, if you're the organizer of that meeting, it gives you more power and more facilitation structure. But basically, again, taking anything that you're supposed to do that you've added onto your calendar and dividing it into certain segments of where you need to be so that you can end on time is extremely, extremely powerful. And what ends up happening is if you show up to your meeting and you're not the organizer of it, and even if you are, the same thing applies, is you let everybody know that you need to be done by a certain time, that you're leaving at a certain time. So let's say if it's a 9:30, the meeting's going to be over at 9:30. You let everybody know that you're going to leave a few minutes early. And everyone's usually fine with that. The problem that people have is when you don't announce that in the beginning and you end up leaving early at the end, that could be perceived in a negative way. So again, that's one area, right? But like in your task, where you give yourself a task, again, the power is ending on time and walking away. See, the problem that we all do is that we give ourselves time and then we extend it because we're not done. And then we extend it again. Hence, Pomodoro timers, which are 25 work, 5-minute break. When I've spoken to my friends that use Pomodoro timers, they actually more often than none reset the timer or keep extending it because they haven't gotten done what they thought they were going to get done. And that's why pacing is so important, is that if you're giving yourself 25 minutes, first, be real clear on what the desired outcome is, reverse engineer it to some degree, but then be able to say, all right, at the 5-minute mark, I should be here. At the 10-minute mark, I should be here. At the 15-minute mark, I should be here. 20-minute mark, I should be here. Sounds like a lot of work, but we're building a new muscle here, right? And we're building a muscle to be able to lead into the direction of ending on time and then get to the final phase of the story, being able to feel ahead of time. Right.
Ooh, okay. And I know that is an upcoming episode as well. So let's pull back a minute, because you're talking about setting up your strategy to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is really important, because I see so many people just do. They don't strategize how they're going to do what they need to get done effectively and efficiently. And what you just described alters that. And we get a winning outcome then.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm my own greatest client, right? Because this is still stuff I'm learning. Right. And this is stuff that's been plaguing me, for a very long time. And so that is correct. I mean, being able to win against time and being able to control and master time is something that I've always tried to find a different way of looking at time and having it become my friend and my supporter to deliver my greatest good versus my enemy.
That is so cool, because, procrastination, it's a real thing for people. And I even heard a comedian when I was driving. So that's odd. Recently, I was driving somewhere and I had a meeting to go to that wasn't virtual. And I heard a comedian talking about how we are the best procrastinators in the world. We start out by hitting the snooze button. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's a procrastination button. I don't deal with procrastination like a lot of people do. It's not my challenge. So, I'm like, yeah, let's get it done. Move on. Next. And that's my winning formula. So, I guess I've flexed the muscle enough over time that I know how to do that differently. And really what we're talking about is it is a new habit. So it's challenging and it requires a lot of extra concentration and dedication until it's competent and then mastered, right?
That's right. I mean, the first place that we actually start mastering procrastination is in college, right? Because we're left to master our own schedule. We have the classes to attend, but then all the times after those classes, we get to decide. We're basically the CEO of our own time at that moment. And what ends up happening, I read this article when I was at Cornell University. They had this article that they had us read on how we actually earn a PhD, incidentally, in procrastination. And then we take that into the work in the workforce, and that becomes part of our default operating standard, unless we do something to change it and interdict it and build a new kind of muscle. But yes, procrastination has kind of become a way of life. Now, there are some people out there that love it. Now, they don't realize they love it at the time. But when you're actually compressed, right, in time to get something done, which happens during procrastination, you generate something. And when you generate something, you can't help from feeling like, wait a minute, I could have done this 4 days ago when you look at the result, right? And when you look at that result, you're like, it took me really 3 hours to do it. I could have done that on Monday and then enjoy my Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with friends and social outings, and instead of letting this thing anchor me and hold me back from showing up fully powerful, fully present, fully energized. And
yeah, that's really what it's about, which leads me to my last question. And I know we're going to crack this open in the next two episodes, but how does pacing, just if you can briefly, because I know we'll do more in the next two episodes, how does pacing connect to feeling ahead and pro-socialized behavior?
I mean, basically that really puts you in a self-awareness state. When you pace yourself, you're more self-aware of where you are with time. And it's only then and only then that when you're in awareness with time and coherence with time in a fully present way, that you can actually start leading in the direction of being able to feel ahead and be able to adopt a pro-social behavior to your way of being.
Okay. So that's a simple answer. And I'm sorry that we have to end this, but what I find fascinating is we started with awareness and we end with awareness. Interesting. Very interesting. Can't wait to hear what's going to happen in our next episodes.
Absolutely. All right.
So listeners, you can learn more and engage with our number one international best-selling author, Dayu Pytel.
Woohoo!
Congratulations once again. Start by reading chapter 7 in volume 5 of the book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner. Now, when you go check us out on any of the stores, and we're everywhere, chapter 5 is the one with the turquoise cover. And at the end of Dayu's chapter, he has something that I think you will find very fascinating. That is his glossary. He takes all of these terms and defines them in a simple way for you to say, oh, I really get it. And that's important. And after his glossary, he has an author page and a business page. And on his author's page, he has a special gift for you. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a challenge and it's a PDF download. And the PDF download is really around talking around ending on time. Who has done it? That, you know, some of the great people that we look at and respect, how do they do it? And how can we do it? And there's a lot in that. So yes.
Beautiful. All right. So we will have the link for that in the show notes. So feel free to check that out there. You don't have to write anything down now, especially if you're driving. And here's something else that's really cool. Right now, you can see everything about the book and how to get a hold of it, as well as Dayu, by going to your app store and typing in Brilliant Biz Book. Again, that's Brilliant B-I-Z book. It's a free download. And once you're there, go click on the feature, Ask an Expert, and you'll see Dayu Pytel's name there. That's D-A-Y-U. Little different spelling than how it sounds. So I want to make sure you know that. Click on that and type Dayu a question. It's an email. And it'll get to him and he'll respond back to you. I think that's a pretty cool bonus. You don't get to deal directly with experts one-on-one with such ease. So thank you for doing that, Dayu.
My pleasure.
All right. So let's talk about this. I'd love for you to go back and listen to Dayu's other episodes in his miniseries. So the first one is episode 206, and that's all about time integrity. And that opens up the conversation and gives you some foundation as we are building upon this sequentially through Dayu's miniseries. His second episode is number 221, and it's all about time compression. And then, of course, this one is about how to pace yourself and, you know, really make it applicable. So, Dayu, I want to thank you today for your wisdom sharing and your time to help everybody get a little more dialed in on their time integrity.
Absolutely. I mean, I challenge everyone to just find one thing and try to pace yourself against it. It's a different kind of feeling.
All right, cool. Duly noted. And listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small business. Shine brightly until next week.